Welcome to our Lakutasikas Parsha Shir for Parsha's Vayera. This week's Parsha begins with the three Malachim coming to Avram to visit him and to tell him, to give him the news that his wife Sarah is going to have a baby. We know there were three Malachim because one was going to overturn Sodom and one was came to heal Avram. So at the beginning of the Parsha, we have the entire story of how they come and they tell them this is going to happen. And Sarah is listening in the tent, and she laughs about it. And then I'd like to start from Pasuk Tes Zayin. What happens after that? The three Malachim who are called Anashim, Vayakumu Misham HaAnashim, Vayashkifu Al Pnei Sodom, VaAvram Halech Imam L'Shacham. Right? So the men got up from there and they were going to now towards Sodom. And Avram gets up to send them off. Now, as this happens, the Torah now goes on aside to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, said, I am now going to destroy Sodom, but how can I hide this from Avram, what I'm going to do? It's in Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? How can I conceal? How can I hide that from Avram Avinu? Because Avram is going to be a goy gadol v'atzum. He's going to become great and powerful. All the nations will be blessed with him. And Hashem continues, I know he's going to command his household in righteousness and justice, right? So he's going to be a man of justice. He's going to be a tremendous nation. How can I hide what I'm going to do from Avram Avinu? And therefore, Hashem says, and since the cry of Ed Som and Amir is very great, so now I will go and see if this is true, what I'm hearing about what they've done. And this is like the aside. And then we come back to the story that the Malachim, Vayifnu Misham HaAnashim V'yalchu Sodoma. So the Anashim, the Malachim, so they went and turned. So we know that they were there, they were going to go. We have this little aside of Hashem saying, how can I hide this from Avram? And then the pasuk goes back that the men, Vayifnu Misham HaAnashim, the men turned from there, V'yalchu Sodoma, they went to Sodom, to now overturn Sodom. And tell light, right? To rescue light, tell light to get out and to destroy Sodom. Avram was still standing before Hashem because Hashem had come to visit Avraham. And so we have a Rashi actually here that what does it mean Avram was still standing in front of Hashem? Avram didn't approach Hashem. It's really though the idea that Hashem came to visit Avram, but it's not respectable to say that Hashem was still standing in front of Avram, right? So the Torah, it's called Tikkun Seferim, gives us a nicer way of saying it. The idea was Avram and HaKadosh Baruch were still in a conversation. So we see now that Hashem, though, said he's not going to hide it from Avram. He's told Avram what he's going to do. He's going to see what's going on in Sodom, and they're very terrible. And then we have this whole conversation, a conversation that Avram Avinu has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it starts with Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayigash Avraham, Avram approaches Hashem, Vayigash Avram, Vayayimar, and he says, Ha'af tispet tzadikim rasha? Is it true that will you really destroy a righteous person together with a wicked person? And then Avram Avinu goes through this entire argument. Ulayesh hamishim tzadikim b'sai ha'ir. So he goes through, maybe there are 50 tzadikim. Would you destroy everyone if there are 50 tzadikim? You know, chalilach, you know, God forbid that you, Hashem, who is a righteous judge, would do such a thing. And Hashem responds, you're right, if there are 50 tzaddikim, I won't destroy it. But then Avram continues, he doesn't let go. He didn't know how alti, I start to speak, you know, I'm only offer an afer, I'm only dust and ashes, but perhaps Avram continues, he continues. Maybe there will be five less than 50. In other words, 45. Would you still destroy them? Hashem says, no. And then Avram continues, oh, please don't get angry, Hashem, with me, and let me continue to speak. Maybe there will only be 30 tzaddikim. Hashem says, I won't do it for 30. And it keeps going on like this. And Avram argues until he gets down to 10. And when he gets down to 10 and realizes, what if they're not 10, then he doesn't argue anymore. So the Rashi we're going to be looking at is the Rashi actually on these words at the beginning, Vayigash Avraham. Now, we know the word Vayigash is a very pop word. We know that we have a parsha in the Torah on the word Vayigash. So let's have a look at Rashi's commentary on this word Vayigash. Let's come back to that now. So Vayigash Avraham. So what does Rashi say? First of all, the Dibur HaMashal, as we know, the Dibur HaMashal is very important. It's Rashi's title. It tells us what the problem is. So Rashi quotes Vayigash Avraham. And what does he say? Rashi says, Matsinu Hagasha l'melchama, this word of Vayigash, we find used in the Torah in different ways. First of all, we find the expression used for war. Where do we see that? And Rashi gives us a quote from Shmuel Beis, from Navi, where it says, Vayigash Yoav. Yoav was a commander for during the time of David HaMelech, and Vayigash Yoav, when he went to war, this is the approach, this is the word used for going to war. We also find Hagasha Lepius. In other words, Hagasha, an approach for placating someone, for appeasing someone, like to make peace, to try to calm somebody down. And where is that? That's further here in Chumash Bereishis, in Perek Mem Dal, in Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, when we have the story of Yehuda approaching Yosef. When Yosef takes Binyamin and doesn't want to let him go, Yehuda approaches him. Okay, and we're going to see what that's all about. And then we also have Hagasha Letfila, the word Vayigash used in an example in Malachim when it says Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi, that Eliyahu HaNavi came near, word Vayigash, and that was for davening to Hashem, for tefillah. So Rashi saying the word Vayigash could be used in three different ways: for war, for placating a person, appeasing a person, and for tefillah. And then Rashi continues, Ulachol Elin Nichnas Avraham. For all of these things, Avraham, notice the word Nichnas, Avraham entered. So even though the English, as you see, they write for all these Avraham approached, but in Hebrew, the word nichnas is not hagasha. Lahagish is to approach. The word nichnas means to enter something. L'chol eila nichnas Avram, to all this Avram entered. L'daber kasha is to speak harshly. U'lepios and to placate. U'letfila and for davening. So it's this particular Rashi that the Rebbe is going to discuss in the Sicha. So let's begin the Sicha itself. Al ha-pasuk, Vayigash Avram. So on this pasuk, Vayomer ha'af tispeh, Hashem, will you really destroy for these? Mefarish Rashi. And now we have the Rashi that we just read. So this Rashi, Vayigash Avram, and saying that we find Vayigash used in three different ways. So what does the Rebbe ask about this? Lehin eit l'chayra tovanas Rashi. It would seem when we read this Rashi, on the first very simple or initial understanding, when we look at this Rashi, we might say to ourselves, what is Rashi's intention? What's he really trying to do? Since we find, when we look at the psukim right afterwards, how does Avram Avinu start this conversation with Hashem? His first words are, seem to be speaking quite harshly to Hashem. Ha'af tispet tzadik in Rasha? We really destroy a tzadik with a Rasha? And we see divrei pios, we see words of placating. Also, in his words, we see he says, "Chalila l'chama esayz kadavar azeh." Right, like, God forbid, for Hashem, for you, this would be something cool. This isn't appropriate, Hashem, for you to do such a thing. Okay, and uchepeirish Rashi, and like Rashi says, "Chulin hulacha." Right, this is like a mundane, a profanity for Hashem to do such a thing. And also, the hispalo, we see that Avraham Avinu also davened in this conversation. In the words, "Hinei noha alti ledaber v'anachi afer v'efer ulai yachsurim v'gayl." When he says, "Please let me continue to speak. I am but dust and ashes, but let me ask of you." So that's a tefillah. And actually, we learn as an aside from here that when we daven, we have to approach Hashem with humility. So it seems when we look at the pesukim, we see that Avraham Avinu, in this long conversation, does all three things. He starts off speaking a little harshly. He then does it in a very nice, like, placating way. Hashem, how could you do such a thing? And then also in a manner of tefillah. So you might think, therefore, l'chein mefarish, the kol zeh nichlal b'masha amar kra vayigash. So you might think that what Rashi is trying to say is that all of these things are included in that word vayigash. Kivatzino agasha, because as we see, Rashi says, because we find that word vayigash is used in other places in the Torah for all three things, for these three things, for tefillah, for davening, for placating, and for war. Okay, so that's our first glance, what we might think. However, the Rebbe is now going to ask a number of questions on that assumption. So let's see what the questions are. Tzarech lahavin, the Rebbe says, we have to understand. First of all, Question number one. Teva haregila betanach upshuta vayigash, lama bechlal zukuka leperish. In general, if we're saying that the word vayigash needs some sort of explanation, because that's what it seems. Rashi's saying vayigash can be used for war or for this or for that. If this is a common word in the Torah, why do we need to explain it all together? Why does it need any sort of explanation? That doesn't seem to be necessary. Okay, so why do we have that? So we have this word many times, and we actually don't find Rashi ever saying or explaining this word in other places. So why does he have to explain it here? Question number two. Lama matig Rashi gam tevas Avraham. So our very famous question in all our Rashi sichas, the deeper hamasril, the title for the Rashi is very important to understand why Rashi is commenting. So if Rashi is just trying to tell us that the word vayigash can be used for these different things, then his title should just have been the word vayigash. Why does he have in the title vayigash Avraham? Why do I need Avraham in that title? Question number three, Gimel. Mahu hai safa v'achidush b'siyum perusho shel Rashi. Why does Rashi add and seem to give us something new at the end of his explanation by saying ulchol ele nichnas Avraham, and Avraham entered into all of these things? Hare davar ze muvam b'pashtus mashma'os hakasuv haksuvim kenal. The fact that Avraham did all of these three things is very clearly seen explicitly if we just look at the psukim that come next. So why does Rashi have to tell it to us? We can see it ourselves. Question number four. Rashi makim hochacha delachol ela nichnas. Rashi precedes his proof when he says all of these things, Avraham entered into all of these things. He starts off his explanation by saying that we find this word used, and this is the order, right? For war, for placating, and for tefillah. But we see this explicitly in our psukim right here. And if we see it right here, if Avraham actually did all three, then Rashi's explanation should have started immediately by saying, "Legimul dvarim nichnas Avraham," that Avraham came to say three, to do three things: ledaber kashas, lepius tefillah. Right? That's, it should have just started. This is what Avraham came to do, and then maybe given us proof from these other places in Tanakh that that could be so. And why does the Rebbe say why could it have been that way? Because the Rebbe says, "Al derech sheperish Rashi l'kamam b'parshas Vayishlach." Because we see something similar later on in Parshas Vayishlach, v'nogei le'Yaakov Avinu, when it talks about Yaakov Avinu, and when he was worried he was going to meet Esav, and he didn't know what to expect, so he did a number of things. And Rashi points out, you know, he split up his camp, he sent messengers to Esav with presents, and it says Rashi starts off that Rashi hiskin atzmai l'shloish advarim, that Yaakov prepared himself for three things. The Darin, to send a present, with tefillah for prayer, and l'milchama for war. And then he shows us how it comes out in the psukim. And therefore, the Rebbe is asking, why not here? Why not just say, Avraham Avinu did these three things, and then prove it from the words of the pasuk? And va'af in tirtzav laimar, and even if you want to say, shemitzad eizetan, that for whatever reason, hutzrach rashi lo hechiyach vayigash shach begimul dvarim ela, that for whatever reason, if you're going to say that Rashi first has to prove that the word vayigash could mean any of these three things, so let him just bring that at the end. Say, Avraham Avinu is now going to have a conversation with Hashem, and he's going to speak in three different ways. He's going to speak harshly, and then he's going to placate Hashem, and then he's going to plead and daven with Hashem. And proof, vayigash can be used in three ways. Rebbe says that would have made more sense. Why did Rashi flip it around? And then, on the other hand, next question five. On the other hand, Stam Rashi. Rashi's quiet. Rashi seems to be quiet, and he doesn't seem to say anything in the place where you would think he should explain it. In other words, v'nidon v'nidan. In other words, in the place right here in our psukim, he doesn't stop on those other psukim to prove that those are tefillah or pious. For example, when it says chalil lecha, or hini neho alti ladaber, which we just said before is the pious, and the tefillah is the placating Hashem and the davening, Rashi doesn't say anything there. And doesn't say kimisham muchaf she'avram nichnas dechal eila. He doesn't stop on those and say, "Aha! You see, right here, here's the tefillah, here's the placating." He doesn't do that. So he just starts off in the word vayigash, saying that vayigash can be these three things, and thus explicitly connect it to what Avram did. He just said Avram did all three. Okay, valder shematina beperush beperushes vayishlach, and that's not the way he does it. For example, in vayishlach. Okay, so when he says that Yaakov Avinu prepared to do two things, then Rashi continues. So whom afar is there? Rashi continues. L'doron, the present, batavra mincha al panav. He quotes a pasuk that proves to us this is the present that he said. This is how it says it in the pasuk. L'tfilah, how do we know Yaakov davened? Because it says, okay, Avi Avraham. Those are the three words that show he was davening. L'mochama, v'yam machna hanisha l'pleita. When he said, I'm going to split my whole family into two camps, so the other camp will be remainder if anything should happen, proves that he was preparing for war. So we see that when it talks about Yaakov Avinu doing three things, it first says the three things he did, and then Rashi brings the psukim to prove it. But here, Rashi takes a word, says the word could mean three things, and then just says Avram did all three, but never proves it from any of the psukim. Why? Question number six. Kushas Sifsei Chachamim, we find that the Sifsei Chachamim, who is the parish on one of the perushim on Rashi, has a question. And the Sifsei Chachamim asks the question, compares this Rashi to another Rashi in Pashas Vayigash. And he says as follows. Eich Kasav Rashi Kan. How is it that here in our Rashi, Rashi's using Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda approaching Yosef, Haya Lefius, was for placating, right? That's the beginning. That's our Rashi right here. Right? Yoyev was from Mohamma, Hagash Lefius, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. So the Sifsei Chachamim says, how can Rashi here say that the proof that the word Vayigash is to placate, how can he say that that comes from Yehuda when we know in Parshas Vayigash, Hello, Lakaman, Bereish Parshas Vayigash, Kasav Rashi. We know that in Parshas Vayigash, at the beginning of the Parsha, Rashi says, on the words, Va'al Yichar Apcha, that you should not be angry. Mikan Atalamad, Shadiber Elof Kashais. So on the word, and please don't be angry, Rashi says right there, from here we learn that Yehuda spoke harshly to Yosef. So the Sifsei Chachamim asks, how can Rashi say that an example of placating is from Yehuda, when in Parshas Vayigash, Rashi seems to say that Yehuda spoke harshly to Yosef? And question number seven, Ulidich Gisa, on the other hand, Mikivan Sharashi Mefarish Kan, Shagashas Yehuda Hais Lepius. If in fact here we find, and this is earlier, that here Rashi is saying that Yehuda's approach to Yosef was in a way of trying to placate Yosef. Madua lo pirish kan kain bim kai mai, bereish Parshas Vayigash. If here he says it was to placate him, why doesn't Rashi say that in Parshas Vayigash? Ubefrat dematzinu the nachas lefar sham shadiber elav kashas. Especially as we find it's more likely that we would explain it there that he spoke harshly. So if he really did speak, in a way to placate Yosef, why doesn't Rashi say it over there? And finally, our last question, number eight, is this, the last words. Madua Mishana Rashi Milashan Hakasu Vayigash Avram. Why, when Rashi is explaining what Avram did, does Rashi change the words? The words from the pasuk that he seems to be explaining is the word Vayigash, right? That's the word. Yet in his explanation, what does Rashi say? He said, "Ulachol Eile Nichnas Avraham," that into all these things Avraham entered. "Ulachol Eile Nigash Avraham." He should have said, "Into all these things he approached." Avram approached. Why does he change the word approach, the word nichnas, which means to enter? Okay, so those are our eight questions. I can't count. Our eight questions. Okay, so how do we answer all of this? So the Rebbe points as follows. What's the explanation? So the Rebbe points out something that we saw in the Pesukim itself, when we read the Pesukim at the beginning of our shiur tonight. Lifnei Vayigash Avram, before the words Vayigash Avram, that the simple meaning, which is Avram approach, which means he seems to be that Avram went somewhere, but right before those words, Nemar, the Pesuk says, Va'Avram Odena Omed Lifnei Hashem, that Avram was still standing in front of Hashem. Hare Mefurash, that means it said very explicitly, Shalai Zaz Avram and Kaimai, that Avram actually did not move from where he didn't move. He didn't physically move from where he was standing. Lifnei Havaya, before Hashem. Ulafiza, and if that's the case, that the pasuk right there says he had not yet moved, he was still standing in front of Hashem. Ein lefarash beyigash Avram shala acharze hagasha kapshutai. So therefore, Rashi says, if it says oden omed lifnei Hashem, that Avram Avinu is still standing in front of Hashem right here, right? Avram omed lifnei Hashem, and then in the very next pasuk, beyigash Avram, Avram approached. So it's a very simple question that we're asking here. If Vayigash is, if he hadn't moved, then the words Vayigash can't mean that he physically approached Hashem, that it's a ha'ataka mimakam lamakam, that it's a physical movement from one spot to another spot. That couldn't be. Ella, alken tzarech leimar, she muvana hagasha utnua ruchnis. Therefore, we have to say that when we say this hagasha, this is an approach, we're talking about a spiritual approach. Okay? In other words, like we know, that he took himself out of a certain situation and stance, and he entered into another one. Now, we know this kind of terminology, we use it in English, right? How will I approach the situation? And approaching the situation doesn't have to mean a physical approach. It's saying, how will I deal with it? What will I say? How will I resolve this? How will the conversation go? And we know that whenever we want to have a difficult conversation, you know, there are books written about critical conversations, that we think in advance about how we're going to have this conversation, what it's going to look like. So Rashi says it's very simple when we look at the pasuk, because Rashi, remember, a ben chamish l'mikra, someone who understands pasukim can read them carefully. Avram is still standing. He hadn't gone anywhere. So what does it mean he approached? So therefore, Rashi is saying it must mean some sort of a mental approach. He had to get his mind around something and decide how he was going to approach, how he was going to have this conversation with Hashem. The Zayi had Gushas Rashi. That is what Rashi is actually stressing here. Ulachol Eile Nichnas Avraham. That for all these things, Avram was thinking different ways of approaching Hashem. In all of this, he entered into all of these sort of mindsets. Hainu, what does this mean? That even before he said anything to Hashem, nichnas Avraham b'matav chadash, he entered into a new stance. In other words, he took another perspective. He did a little paradigm shift in his head. Liyos muchon umazuman, to be prepared and ready to do what? L'davar kashais, l'pius u'tfila. So he took on a three-pronged approach, and it was explicit and it was planned that he would speak harshly, he would use placating language, and he would daven. And therefore, v'lachein shina milashan hagasha shebekasov. And that is why, so we're answering our last question first, that is why Rashi changes the word vayigash and doesn't use that word hagasha, b'chdei lefarash tiva shal hagasha su. That's why Rashi used the word nichnas. He entered into another mind frame because it wasn't literally a physical approach. And then, since that is really Rashi's intention, to tell us that he had a new mindset, he entered into a new mindset. In other words, Rashi's not coming here to tell us that he actually said these things. Because what difference would it make to us to know now, before we see the psukim, that Avram spoke these three things? But elulachadesh, what Rashi's trying to give us, what a novel, a new explanation Rashi's trying to tell us is, shelemilchatchila, that to begin with, before he even opened his mouth, nichnas bekavana umatara shel dibur ba'afanim ela, he entered into that mindset and that purpose of being able to speak in these three different ways. Hare muvan. So therefore we understand she'ein raya me'aksuvin delakaman, that this, the idea that he mentally prepared himself to talk to Hashem in these three different ways, you cannot get that, you can't prove that from the words, from the actual conversation itself. Because by just looking at the conversation, there's no proof that he started the conversation having in mind that he was going to do all three things. Because the conversation itself is just telling us the zemuva bapashtos, and that's clearly and easily understood just by reading the psukim. The insar Rashi the parsha, and therefore Rashi doesn't have to explain it. This is what he actually said. So if it was just like, you know, he was having a conversation, and you know, it's like when we have a conversation, if we don't plan it in advance, we start the conversation, we say something, we see it's not working, so we change tactics. If that was the case, it was just the fact that Avram said it, then Rashi wouldn't have had to say anything. We would see it in the psukim. So the fact that Rashi is saying this before and talking about the word Vayigash again is because he didn't actually physically move, so it had to be a mental approach. And Rashi is trying to tell us this was planned. And that's why Rashi doesn't have to say anything, or he doesn't say anything. That was our other question. That's why he doesn't say anything in the... sorry about that. That's why he doesn't say anything... Sorry. I don't know how to stop my phone. Sorry about that. Right. So that's why Rashi doesn't have to stop and explain in the conversation what each of those psukim was meant to be saying, because it wasn't like by and by, it didn't happen as he was talking, it was planned for beforehand. Now if that's the case, then we have a question, or we want to understand omnam, however mikivan shekain, if that was the case, she'ein raya me'aksuvim shelefneinu shelechol ela nichnas, if we actually don't have any proof from the psukim themselves, in other words, from the conversation, that Avram had this all pre-planned, in Cain, ma hu hamaka v'harayah l'peirush hazeh. So what is Rashi's proof for this, that he had actually pre-planned it? Halo efshar delon nichnas l'daber. Maybe he didn't pre-plan it. Ela al oifen echad l'daber kashas. Maybe he just planned to speak harshly. Umilsa de mistaber he. And that's more likely. Because that's actually how Avram started the conversation. Will you really destroy a tzaddik with a rasha? But what? So why can't you just say that that's actually how he wanted to talk, like we mentioned before, you can start a conversation. You have in mind to do it one way, but then afterwards, but as you talk, he realized, oh, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't always be speaking so harshly. Maybe I need to soften my tone. So I'll do a bit of placating and a bit of davening as well. Why can't we say that? Where's the proof that it was all pre-planned? And therefore, with the Rebbe explained, because we might think that, l'chein, that's why, matik Rashi es hateiros vayigash Avraham. So now we're answering that question. This is why in his title, Rashi puts those two words, Vayigash Avram, Avram approach, Mufarish, and he explains why. Matsinu Hagasha v'chulu, that we find the word Hagasha can be used in three ways. Hainu, in other words, what is Rashi trying to say? Mikavan Shatara Maisifa Tevas Elu, Because the Torah is adding these words of Vayigash Avraham, She'ein Peres Gishmi Makom Makom, and like we said before, in this case, it's impossible. It's not that he moved physically from one place to another. Therefore, the very fact that the Torah even says the words Vayigash Avraham is stressing to us that at the beginning he entered into a particular mindset. Because without these words, Vayigash Avraham, we would not have known this. With Tevas Vayigash, but by writing that word, Vayigash, and Davka from quoting this particular word, move on the eight to Ifanifasadaber. And from learning from here and from other places of how the word Vayigash is used, we come to understand the different approaches he was taking. Because Vayigash can be used in these three different ways. So by using that terminology in a place where it cannot be physically moving, teaches us that it was for these approaches. And that's why Rashi starts, not like Yaakov Avinu saying he was going to do three things, but rather starting with Matzinu, we find Hagasha L'Mohama V'chulu, L'Fiyas V'chulu, L'Tfila, that we find this term of Vayigash for war, for placating, and for Tfila. Hainu, this is telling us, She'bechsuvim El, that with these psukim, Anu Maitzim, we find She'atar Mishtameshet B'Lashem Vayigash, that the Torah uses this word by Yigash, letar eskishasay v'achanas ha'adam l'daber oy lasais. This word by Yigash is used in these places to describe a person's approach or preparation to either speak or do something. Hein divrei kashais, whether it's preparation to speak harshly, hein divrei pios, or preparation to placate someone, the hein divrei tefillah, or preparation to daven. V'lochein, and therefore, v'nidon v'dan, in our case, right here, sh'ledaber kashais, that to speak harshly, ha'af tisbeh, ha'inu yoidin gam lulei ha'safas v'yigash Avram. The fact that Avram was going to speak harshly, we would have known that without the words v'yigash Avram. Why? Because that was the beginning of his conversation. That's how he started off. Therefore, we have to say that there's more than just that, that the word Vayigash is there to tell us that there was more, that he entered into more approaches, not just one. And that he continued, and that he was going to continue not just with speaking harshly, but referring to everything else he was planning to say. So, al pize, now based on that, now that we understand that idea, yivuar hefresh ben apasur dekam ba'kasa v'yigash elo Yehuda. So now that we understand that the word vayigash here cannot mean a physical movement. It has to be purely a mindset approach. So now we want to understand the difference between vayigash Avram and the vayigash Yehuda. So remember we said that vayigash Yehuda was Yehuda's approach to Yosef. So I'd just like to show you those psukim very quickly here. The very beginning of Parshas Vayigash, right? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef. Vayomer, be Adoni. Look at the words, please. My Lord, as you see, yidaber na avdecha davar, let my servant speak something, ba'ozne adani, in the ears of my master. Okay, so that listen to that language, right? Please let me speak now. And then it says, ba'al yicha apcha ba'avdecha, and don't be angry, ki kamocha kapara, for you are like para. Now, when we look at the Rashi here, ba'yigash elav Yehuda, that first Rashi, ba'yigash elav Yehuda, and when he said, so no Rashi, let my words enter your ears. Okay, think about the tone of that. Please let me speak. Does that sound like harsh to you? Right. Let's think about that. What term is that? And then there's a second Rashi, va'al yichar apcha. On the words, va'al yichar apcha, don't be angry. Here, Rashi says, mikan atalama chadava shadiber elof kashais. It's on the words, va'al yichar apcha, and please don't be angry with me, that Rashi says, from here you learn that he spoke harshly. Okay, now this is quite important to understand. So my Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Rashi's not saying that that means harsh. Okay, in the beginning of Yehuda's conversation, please let my servant speak. Those are not harsh words. And that's what the Rebbe is going to now explain to us. So we go here. When it says, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Harei Perusha Shal Tevas Vayigash Hu B'Muvano HaPashut. So when it says that Yehuda approached, there the word Vayigash actually means what it literally means, the simple meaning. Netak Mimakam Amdai B'Saf Sa'im Echav. And he moved from where he was standing, because he was standing together with his brothers. They were a little group, they were talking to each other. And the Nigash, the Hiskari, oh Yosef. And then he removed himself from the little group, talking to his brothers, and he moved over and he went closer to Yosef to talk to Yosef. The Dabar Imai Ba'ifin Prati, to personally speak to him, individual, right? Yehuda to Yosef, not the crowd. Yidabar Na'avcha Davar Ba'ozne Adoni. Let your servant speak something in your ears. So it's obvious that he had moved. So here with Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that could be literal. He actually moved. He walked over to Yosef. Umasha Rashi maybe kan raya mizeh. So the fact that here with Avram, Rashi is using that pasuk as proof. Shagashas Yehuda ha'isulafius, that Yehuda's approach was actually to placate Yosef. Ain't kavana say shadomo hadadi b'tachna shel tevas v'yigash. Rashi is not saying that it's the same meaning of the word vayigash. It's not the vayigash that Rashi was talking about over there. Right? Rashi was not saying that vayigash Yehuda was a mental approach, like vayigash Avram was. But what was Rashi trying to say? Elashama tara echasi. He's trying to say that with the word vayigash, we see that an intention, that the intention was one. That when it says by Yigash Yehuda, Yehuda approached, that approach was in order to placate him. And we find that. And that is very clear, and it's easy to explain that from the pasuk where it talks about Yehuda approaching Yosef. Because we that's what we find, we see that word of Vayigash and the intention of peace, because we see the way he's speaking. He doesn't approach Yosef very harshly at first. That's not how he started. And what difference would it make if it was a physical approach or a mental approach? Okay, so over there, it's not that Vayigash is a term for a mental approach. That's not what Rashi's trying to say. He's trying to say that Vayigash Yehuda was a placating approach. And Rashi doesn't have to explain it. That was our other question. He doesn't have to say it over there. That Yehuda's approach to Yosef was to placate him. Because that fact, the fact that he approached Yosef in order to placate him, we see that again very clearly from his first words, which were, be Adoni, please my master. Right? Just like over here, when Avram speaks, his very first words, ha'af tisbet tzadik in Rasha, will you really do such a thing, Hashem? Right. So Avram starts off his speech very clearly, very cautious. Yehuda starts off his talk to Yosef in a very appeasing way. And the fact that later Rashi, on a different Divrei HaMaskil, not on the words Vayigash. So the fact that Rashi later says that Yehuda spoke harshly with Yosef, that wasn't on the words Vayigash. That was on a different Divrei HaMaskil, on the words Va'al Yichar Apcha. When Yehuda said, please don't get angry with me, Yosef, Mikan Atala Machin Diber Elav Kashas. That's where you learn that he spoke harshly. But it doesn't mean that he originally intended to speak harshly with him. Below Perish, he didn't say Yehuda approached him. Rashi doesn't say the Vayigash Yehuda means that he had prepared himself and he entered to placate him or to speak harshly. Why? Because for that, in other words, to say that Yehuda had prepared to speak at the same time, to speak in a placating manner and harshly, would be a novel idea. And you would have to have some proof for that. But Parsha Seinu, like in our Parsha, so in order to say that someone prepares in advance to do things in multiple different ways, you have to have proof in the puzzle for that to happen. Now with Yehuda, there is no proof that he had mentally prepared himself to speak differently. Because the word Vayigash was literal. He had to actually move over, walk over to Yosef. So there's no proof from that. And from what he said, you could argue, and you see Rashi using different words, that he had this conversation. He started it off in a very appeasing way, and then he moved to harsher words. But with Avraham Avinu, the word Vayigash cannot mean moving. And therefore Rashi says it must mean something else. It must be a mental approach. And since we find the word Vayigash is used in different places where people have prepared themselves to placate or to go to war or to daven, therefore we understand that the mental approach Avraham Avinu had here was for those three things. So now we've actually answered all our questions. So what is the lesson for us? What's the deeper meaning of this? So our last and final ice. Hey, me'an yonim yena shel tarav v'perisa. What's the yena shel tarav? What's the why? What's the inner meaning of all of this? What can we learn from this? Yadua, we know. Shemidazin shel Avram hi, Avram ohavi. We know, what was Avram known as? Avram was known as Avram, the one who loved Hashem. Val bizet tamua. And therefore, we could wonder, how is it possible? We know Avram was a man, he's an ish chesed, he's someone who loved Hashem, seems to be a very gentle person. How can we say that Avram Avinu approached Hashem and he starts off speaking harshly to Hashem? How is that possible? You say, and even more so, all these three things, we say that Avram mentally prepared himself to speak. Milchama, a war, pious, placating, and tefillah. Hisko Avram would be bit with Davar Kashos. How did Avram begin the conversation with Hashem? Speaking harshly. How is that possible? Shemizem muvam, from that we understand. Da'av she lechol el eilen nichnas Avram, that even though Avram prepared himself to speak all three different ways, bechol zeh, nevertheless, his main approach was to speak harshly because that's how he started. And we know that, you know, when you have a conversation, they always say the first few minutes that's like the tone, that sets the tone of how you're going to continue. So if that's the case, here we have Avraham Avinu, who's known as an Ish Chesed, who's known as someone who loves Hashem. How is it possible that he's speaking so harshly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Look, we would think, Mitzat Ha'ava Shavai, because of his great love for Hashem, that Avram should have begun his conversation in a very placating manner or with davening. Why did he do it? Why did he start off harshly? So what's the explanation and the lesson for us? When we talk about Avram Avinu and we say, what is Avram? What's his main trait? His main trait is love, Ava, and Chesed, kindness. That's not just coming to describe his natural character traits. That what? That he was always drawn, he always leaned toward Chesed. That was his nature. Ki'in, what is the purpose of telling us that he's a man of chesed and ava? It's be'ikar, it's mainly to tell us. And says, she'avad ha'kadosh baruch hu b'midas ha'chesed, that he served Hashem with chesed, l'kayim ritzon Hashem. So chesed is an outward, it's a desire to want to do things. And the idea that he was a man of chesed is saying that he's a person who is constantly striving to fulfill the will of Hashem. But what do we find? But nevertheless, when he had the opportunity, he had this situation where it was up to him to save lives, which akvar nigzra hagzera, and when the decree was already made, because Hashem said, you know, hakatzakasa habaylai, right? Are the cries that came to me from Stein, is it true or not? And he had already sent it off. So the gzera was already made. The malach was already sent to destroy Stein. But I said, not only that, not only was the decree already made, shakash brachu kvar shalach hamalachim, la paiches Stein. Hashem had already sent off the angels to overturn Stein. Question number, like it says, we see in the puzzle. Hashem said, am I going to hide from Avram what I am doing? Right? So in other words, it was already decided and the plan was already put into motion. Ooh, Vaperish Rashi, Reish Parsha Senu, and as we see at the very beginning of our Parsha, when it talks about Shlesha and Nashim, that the three men came to visit Avram, Rashi says right there, right? Echad L'Paiches Stein, that one of them came, L'chatchila, that came to begin with to overturn Stein. Ve'ein derech ela l'tfaya me'akash baruch l'davar kashas. So therefore, Avraham Avinu realized, if this is the case, the decree was already made, it's already put into motion, he doesn't have a choice but to plead Makash Baruch Hu and to speak harshly in order to be able to nullify this decree. And therefore, Avraham therefore did not make any sort of calculations here. Rather, he didn't start thinking, well, how can I really speak that way? Is that going to be really appropriate? We're talking about life and death situation here. And therefore, Nichnas Tekef, the Chol Tekef, therefore he entered immediately with his full strength, immediately, the Mida Hadrusha, with the required character trait that he needed for this situation. The Isai Shah, right? The Mida Hadrusha, the Isai Shah, what was needed at that time. Afshihi Hepertivai, even if it went completely against his nature. So he rose to the occasion. He acted the way he needed to act for the circumstance. The Dabar Kashais, now look, to speak harshly, Afilo Kapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to Hashem. Ula Yatzil Anshei Stein Vamara, and perhaps with that, perhaps that way he could save these people of Stein and Amara. Huva calls the Taira, and of course, all this is written in the Taira, which is Hara l'chol echad v'achas m'bnei Avram. And if it's in the Torah, we know the Torah is not a history book. Everything that's written in the Torah, Milash l'Hara, as the Rebbe often quotes, it's a lesson for every single one of us who are the children of Avram Avinu. What is the lesson for us? K'shabal la'adam inyan hanageh la'talas nefesh m'yisrael b'gashmiz oy b'ruchnias. When we have an opportunity, it comes to our hand, the opportunity to save the life of another Jew, and whether that's saving somebody physically, begashmis, or beruchnis, or spiritually. And what does it mean to save someone spiritually? Makarev libam shal Yisrael avihem shabashamayim, to bring a Jew closer to Hashem. So when we have that opportunity to help somebody physically or spiritually, asur lo lachshav cheshbonos v'chulu, it is forbidden for us to start making calculations. Is this really something that I can do? I'm really a bit shy, consumer personality. How can I do that? What will they think if I say that to them? Right? We start making calculations. Ella, well, how do we have to behave? Certainly, he's asik bazeh, the chol kaychai. We have to busy ourselves with this opportunity that comes to our hand with all of our strengths. Vegam ba'ayfen shu hepech tivai, and even going against our very nature. Even sometimes to speak harshly, and to try with every avenue that we have, whether it's war or to placate or davening, we have to try every avenue, and we have to do it with our full strength. And sometimes it has to be strong. We have to have a strong voice, like as we know, with Rebbe always tiny, right? We have to be strong. It has to be it just reminds me very much when we think about Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe was always talking about Eretz Yisrael and saying to the politicians in Eretz Yisrael, if you really believe that Eretz Yisrael is ours, you have to stand strong. You have to speak kashrus, right? No apologetics. Not the peace, let's placate someone and appease them and not get them upset. Sometimes we have to be strong in what we're saying. And that's what it is when we're saving the lives of people. Gashmi and Baruchmias, we have to do it with our full strength and enthusiasm and be prepared to go all out and to use all avenues that are available to us. The Imi Tain HaTayin, and if the person is going to complain or going to say, that's what. If the person who will put forth the argument, bottom line is that I do whatever it is I need to do. It's enough that I will actually physically save that person. And what difference does it make if I do it, but I don't do it with my full strength or my full enthusiasm, or I don't put my all into it? What if I only do it at 50% energy? What if not 100%? What difference does it make? As long as the person got saved or I did something for the person, what is my attitude or how much effort I put in? Why does that matter? The Rebbe says, here we see, that's why Rashi is very particular. To all these things, Avram entered. What do we mean entered? Enter means that we have to bring ourselves into it, that we have to get into what we're doing, right? Again, that expression, and even in English, to get into it means to fully put ourselves into that thing with our full kayach. So, we have to put ourselves fully into this business. Right, into this opportunity, with our full essence, our whole being. And then when we do that, then it's promised to us, we are assured that we will succeed in that work of being able to do whatever we need to do to help our fellow Yidden, the Gachmis and Baruchmis.
Thank you. Yashikayach. You're welcome.